And we will turn to the book of 1 John. And continuing this book of assurance. And we've looked at this, we've looked at it again, just trying to find the many reasons why we can have assurance. And the book has been full of them, really. There's nothing greater than having confidence and assurance, especially when it comes to eternal life in heaven. I mean, there are those who don't know if they're going to go to heaven or not. There are those that hope they're going to go to heaven. Some think, well, you can't know if you're going to go to heaven until you get there. But the Bible is full of places that assures us of our salvation. And I'm thankful for that tonight. There's no worry. There's no fear about that. It's just confidence in the Lord. And I'm glad that this book is full of it. And I'm glad this book has given us many reasons to have assurance. Now, when listening to Todd's message from last week, he called 1 John the love book. And of course it is. John, as the apostle, he had much to write about love. And you find many places in this book where it discusses love. We find out love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. We find out that, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. And as we preached on that a couple of weeks ago, that was just an encouraging message to think about the significance of the love that God has for us. Then we also will read that we love Him because He first loved us. And so there's much to be found out in the book of 1 John about love. But tonight we're going to combine the two. We're going to see love is that which builds assurance. Or love that we have in us is that which gives us assurance. Or we can have assurance because we experience the love in our hearts or because we love others. That love is that which gives us assurance. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brethren, or his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Let's pray. Again, Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, we are thankful, God, for your word. We're thankful, Lord, that your Holy Spirit has opened our hearts and directed us and given us understanding of your word. As we look into your word tonight, we pray that your Holy Spirit will just continue to increase our understanding. And as it increases our understanding of your word, that it will increase our assurance. God, we just thank you for the truth that you have given unto us, that we can build our lives upon it, so that we can be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in your word. We just pray that you'll bless your people tonight. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Notice again here, and we discussed the contrast last week between the children of God and the children of the devil, and that contrast continues tonight. There will be the contrast between those that love and those that don't. It's very simple. The children of God love, and the children of the devil do not. Again, one of the things that we do realize is that the world really doesn't know what love is. The love that we're talking about is the love that comes from God. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. So here's what we know. Because we have the love of the Father in us, again, what is it, 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. Because that love, He has placed His love in us, that enables us to love others. And remember, the love that we're discussing here is that agape love that is the love of surrender, that is the love that is not seeking anything in return, that is love for the one that is, we'll say, less than us, but it means the one that is not capable of returning that love to us. In other words, it's not a love that's seeking something in return. Love seeketh not our own. Again, the love that the world displays is a love that seeks something in return. A love that seeks to be built up in itself. In other words, I'll do this for you if you'll do this for me. A lot of people try to build their relationships between a husband and wife like that. And folks, that's not going to work. If you're only going to do something for them, if they're going to do something for you, you're not going to find success in your marriage. That's not the love that we're talking about. A lot of people, too many people think about love, they think about lust. Lust is not love either. This is self-sacrificial love. So again, we're going to notice this contrast between the children of God and the children of the devil. And we see that a child of God loves his brother. You see, at the end of that, neither he that loveth not his brother. The one that doesn't love is the one that doesn't love his brother. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. When John is talking about that, he's referencing the new commandment that Jesus Christ gave to them. Back in John chapter number 13, Jesus speaks this, and John pins it for us. A new commandment that I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And really, when we get to this, this is what should separate us from the world. Love is what should separate the professors of salvation and those who have really received salvation. And there's a lot of people out there that say they have been saved, but when it comes to the point of love, they don't love. And the world ought to be able to tell there's a love in us. There's something different about us. Love. By this shall they know that you're my disciples, by your love one for another. And that's exactly what John is referencing when he makes mention of that here in 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 11. It always puts me in mind of the song that they used to sing at the church camp that I grew up in. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we know that our unity will one day be restored. Here's what I know. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. That puts me always in mind of that. They'll know we are Christians by our love. A Christian will be known by his love. A Christian will be known by the love that he has in his heart and the love that he displays in his life. And the love that he displays towards others. And it is this love that builds assurance in us. And John's going to talk about that. Basically, what we're going to find out today is if you do not find love in action, you're not going to have much reason to be assured. But if you can look in your heart and you can look at your life and you can see love in action, you have much reason to be assured. And so the ability to love in action is that which builds assurance. Now, the first thing that John begins to describe this, the first thing he does is he talks about Cain. Cain is not one that we would say loved his brother Abel, is he? Look what it says in verse number 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. So here he uses the example of Cain, of one that did not love his brother. Cain's hatred for Abel caused him to murder his brother. And Cain's hatred for his brother Abel began with envy. What is envy? Well, we know the story, don't we? Abel's works were righteous before God. Cain and Abel both brought an offering to God. Cain brought the works of his hands. He brought the fruit of the field, and he presented that before God, and his works were rejected. Abel, on the other hand, brought a sacrifice, a lamb, and the blood sacrifice, and God accepted Abel's sacrifice. Cain hated Abel because God accepted him. He was envious of the fact that Abel was accepted by God, and that envy that built up in his heart caused him to murder his brother. Listen, you need to be careful about envy, by the way. Envy is not love. Listen, ill feelings towards another individual whether it's envy, whether it's maliciousness, whether it's malice, whether whatever. Listen, if you're angry with your brother, it's the same thing as murdering in the eyes of God. We need to be careful with these ill feelings towards someone else, because those ill feelings towards someone else, it's what led Cain to murder Abel. Okay, and it's not the acts of love. Cain's evil caused envy in his heart, and it caused him to kill Abel. As I was pondering this and thought about this, I thought about Cain, and when he and his brother were young, probably when they were younger, they were probably just like any other brothers. They probably threw rocks, and they probably chased rabbits, and they probably ate fruit, and they probably did a lot of things. They probably went down to the swimming hole and went swimming. They probably did a lot of things together. They were brothers. Oh, they might have had their spats along the way, but they were brothers, you know. Somewhere along the line. So my point is, Cain didn't set out in the beginning to hate his brother and to murder his brother. It wasn't until Abel was accepted by God that Cain began to despise him. Cain began to have envy in his heart. And Satan began to tempt Cain and began to take that envy that was in his heart, and he began to manipulate that, and he brought it to the place that he was able to murder his brother. Again, he didn't set out maybe to do that in the beginning. But as the old saying is, you give Satan an inch and he'll take a mile. Satan opened the door, or Cain opened the door for Satan to step in. And Satan caused that hatred to grow in his heart. He murdered his brother Abel. You need to be careful about having an envious heart or any other type of ill feelings towards your brother. So God says and tells John, or God says to us through John, you do not want to be like Cain, because Cain did not love his brother. He murdered his brother. So that's not love. Now, why did John bring this in here? What's the connection? Why all of a sudden this change to Cain in verse number 12 and talking about the negative side of love, and he's really talking about hatred that would cause Cain to murder his brother Abel. What's the connection here when he's talking about love and then he goes and he talks about Cain murdering his brother? Well, notice verse number 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Here's what's going to happen. In your life, you're attempting to walk with God. You're attempting to walk in love. You're attempting to love one another. You're attempting to maybe love your brother. You're attempting to be a person that walks in love. And just like Abel, your righteousness is going to be accepted by God. You're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to live the right way. You're trying to display the works of love. And the world is going to despise your righteousness. God put this in there. John told us this because it should not amaze us if, when our righteous deeds are accepted by God, if the world hates us. If we are trying to live in love and we're trying to display the attributes of love and we're trying to walk in forgiveness and we're trying to walk in understanding and we're trying to display love, someone in the world despises us because of that, that shouldn't amaze us. Again, because the world doesn't know what love is. The world doesn't comprehend when you say, I forgive you. The world doesn't understand when you do not retaliate for wickedness. The world doesn't comprehend that. And the world's going to despise that. The world's going to say, well, you're crazy for doing that. You're crazy for giving that person in that way. You're crazy. They hurt you in this way. You ought to get back at them. You should pay them back. You should retaliate. But the Bible says we're not to return evil for evil. So when we do what the Bible says and we're walking according to the ways of God, the world's not going to understand it. But we shouldn't be surprised if the world doesn't understand when we are attempting to walk in love. So when we speak the truth, and when we do righteousness so that we will be accepted by God, the world is not going to understand it. And as a matter of fact, the world may hate you because of it. Oh, there you go. You think you're so holy. You think you're so righteous that you're too righteous to retaliate, or you're too righteous to take vengeance into your own hands and take matter into your own hands. You think you're so righteous. So all you're trying to do is live for Christ. All you're trying to do is do things the right way. And the world may despise you because of that. Oh, you think you're so holy. That shouldn't surprise us. Okay? If the world despises us for trying to walk after Christ and to walk in love and to be Christ-like, it shouldn't surprise us if the world despises us because of that. Marvel not, John says. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And in this case, the hatred of Cain was so great that he took the life of Abel. That is a great display of hatred. Listen, if the world hates us for walking after Christ and walking like Christ and doing righteousness, it should not surprise us. I'll give you a little example of that. I've been umpiring a little bit to help pay for some of the things that we got going on. So Thursday night, I was over at Prestonsburg and I umpired a little league ball game. And generally when I go over there, I umpire two games and I get a certain fee. But this night I only called one game. So I go in to get paid afterwards, you know, and the guy gives me money. Well, first of all, he pays the other guy first. And I saw how much money he gave him. He gave the other guy two game fees. So I wait, and he gives me two game fees. And I'm like, wait a minute. You gave me too much money. And he says, oh, that's right, you only called one game, didn't you? And I'm like, yeah, I only called one game. The other guy stuck his money in his pocket and walked out the door. And he said, oh, that's right, he called two games, didn't he? And then the guy heard that, and he said, no, I only called one. And he come in and, you know, he said, oh, I'd have recognized it. I generally just take the money and put it in my pocket. I don't even look at it generally. I'd recognize it when I got out of the car. And I thought, yeah, you would. You're probably mad at me because I just told him that I only called one game. But anyway, the world doesn't understand when you do things like that. I mean, I could have took that money, put it in my pocket, and walked out the door, and that guy would have never known the difference because he just gave us the money and went on just like always. When you do those type of things, the world doesn't comprehend it. But we got to do what's right. So marvel not if the world hates you when you're doing what is righteous. Cain hated Abel, and he killed him. The key is that we build in ourselves the righteous actions of love, and that we follow the actions that will cause us to have assurance. Because let's look at the next passage. The next passage says, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. You see, there's that assurance statement. We know, again, that key word in 1 John, we know that we have passed from death to life because we have love for the brethren. Again, if you never have love for the brethren, you can't know that you've passed from death unto life. But one thing I know, the way that I can know that my salvation is real, is love for the brethren. The love that is in my heart for others, that's assurance to me. My life is not all about me. My life is not all about serving myself. But when my life is about serving others and practicing love, that builds assurance in me that I know that my salvation is not just a profession, but I know that it's real. That it's not, you know, that my coming to church is not just, well, I can check that off my list this week because I've done that. No, I know that I'm coming to worship God and that He's changed me. And like the song we're going to practice after a while, forever changed. I know that I've been forever changed. And love is one of those things. Listen, love in your life, you loving others, you loving the brethren, will build assurance in your heart. Now, John also gives us a word of warning. Again, notice the contrast here. The end of verse number 14. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. If love builds assurance, then a lack of love should cause alarm. Somebody comes to us and says, you know what, I really don't know whether I'm saved or not. One of the things that we should say is, do you have love for the brethren? Do you have love in your heart? Can you see the actions of love in your life? First John says that that builds assurance in you. One of the ways that you can know that you have eternal life. But if you do not have love for the brethren, if you're not practicing this self-sacrificial love, it should cause alarm in your life. Notice the seriousness. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. That's pretty serious. Remember that hatred is, or envy, is what set the process of murder in action. And remember, Jesus says, he that is angry at his brother without a cause has committed murder in his heart already. Anger at another person without cause is dangerous. So we need to guard against that. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Here's what that's saying. Listen, if you love, you're going to have eternal life. But if you do not live in love, you cannot have eternal life abiding in you. We need to understand that. Notice again the contrast between the one who does and the one who does not. The one who hates and the one who does not hate. The one who hates does not have eternal life, and the one who does not hate is the one that has eternal life. All the way through here is a contrast between the two. Now again, notice verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God. How do you know that God loves you? I mean, if you come up and say to someone, God is love, what's that mean? God is love. God loves you. What's that mean? Hereby we perceive the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. It's one thing to say that you love someone. It's another thing to prove that love. God proved His love for us when He laid down His life for us. He proved it in deed, in action. Really, love is an action word for us. But we know that God proved His love because Jesus Christ laid down His life. Now here's what He says to us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Your church love one another? Oh yeah, we love one another, brother. Okay. How do we display love for one another? How do you display love for your brother? See, this is the key. If you love, it's okay. Yeah, I love you. Okay. Prove it. You know, it's just like little children, you know. They come up and they'll say, oh, I love you always, forever. That's on Monday. And then on Tuesday, you know, it's somebody else. Oh, I would love you forever. You know, they have no concept of what love is. The sad thing is some adults are in that place now too. They don't know what love is, right? They change people that they love like some people change clothes. You know, every other day they love somebody new. How do you really know that you love someone? Well, what are you willing to sacrifice for that person? Or what have you sacrificed for that person? What you are willing to sacrifice for that person proves that you love them. And if you're not willing to sacrifice for that person, you probably don't love them. But if you love them, you will lay down your life for them. There is nothing too great, no sacrifice too great to make for that other person. Our love should be seen by our surrender for the benefit of someone else. And again, when we see that in our lives, sacrifice, making sacrifice for someone else, laying down our lives for the brethren, in that, it's proving our love. And that love that is in us, when we do that, is the agape love. And the agape love being present in us is that which builds assurance in us. Now, John is going to explain to us now these actions of love. Verse number 17. But whoso has this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Think about that for just a second. If you have this world's goods, then, and listen, all of us do. All of us are wealthy today compared to most of the world. Now, I don't consider myself wealthy, you know, and you probably don't consider yourself wealthy. But if you compare us to the rest of the world, I've been told we're pretty wealthy. And if we see someone have need and we do not provide for them, how dwelleth the love of God in us? I thought about this because the scripture says, if we see our brother have need, is that talking about a physical brother? Probably. Is it talking about a spiritual brother? Probably. I thought about this. Who is my brother? I thought about when they asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? And Jesus went to give them the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan. Who was the Good Samaritan's brother? Or who was the neighbor? Why should they help the Good Samaritan? Why should they help the person lying in the street? Now, who is my neighbor? That person lying in the ditch was his neighbor, and they should have helped him. Who is our brother? We ought to be willing to display and to help those that are in need. And it is that desire in our heart to help those that are in need that shows our love. Notice it also says, and seeth his brother have need. So what is need? Well, when you think about God supplying your need, what do you think? When you think about, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory, what do you think about? You think about everything, right? Food, clothing, housing, comforts of life. You think about all those things. Well, if we expect God to deliver those things to us, we need to be willing to deliver those things to someone else. And that desire to do that proves the love that is in our heart. But if we're not willing to help others, if we're not willing to help deliver someone else who has need, who is hurting, they need. Listen, if we shut up our bowels of compassion, listen to this word. How dwelleth the love of God in him? We're not willing to help someone in need. How dwelleth the love of God in him? Verse 18, my little children, let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. For too long we have been loving in tongue only. We've been loving in word only, and we have not been loving enough in deed and truth, and we need to do so. Why? Verse 19 says, and hereby we know that we are of truth and shall assure our hearts before him. How? By loving in deed and truth. The best way to know, the best way to have assurance, is by loving someone else. and recognizing God has loved you, and so you want to share that love with someone else. That's the best way to know that God has changed your life. But if you will not do that, if you'll not love someone else, if you'll not display that compassion for them, how dwells the love of God in you? If you really want to be assured of your love, or be assured of your salvation, practice love. That's what John's trying to tell us here tonight. I pray that we all will gain a little lesson from this tonight. And we'll ask ourselves, how much are we loving others? And are the places where we should love others? And if we do, it will build our assurance of our salvation. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the night. Thank you for the truth. And I pray that you'll help us not to be those that love only in word. But Lord, we will love in deed and in truth. Help us to be concerned with those that have need. Help us to reach out to them. And help us to display your love for us by loving others also. Thank you for your grace and mercy. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.